Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and it's Tuesday, August 12th, 2008.
This is episode 2.07, our Sleepers show.
Sleepers, offensive lines, and we have week one of the preseason under our belts. I saw all the games.
All of them?
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them?
Okay, there's one more that I have to see tonight.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure whether you saw all of them.
By the time the people listen to the show, I will have seen all of them.
All right, that makes sense.
When I get home, I got to finish the Broncos.
We're going to talk about sleepers. We have Mike Nazarek, a fantasy football mastermind, joining us. He's going to tell you exactly what a sleeper is, a sleepers are. And he'll also give you some great names of sleepers in quarterback position, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Jeff gives you some. I'll abstain from some
Steven
categories.
Even selfish a little bit because we got five drafts this weekend.
You have five. I have like eight.
You have eight?
So,
well, and Steven and I are in, we are in seven leagues together.
Yeah. And one of them is the big money league. I'm not even going to talk to you in that draft. I'm not even going to pretend.
That's a live
draft.
Did you
get the email?
Why should I tell you?
Well, I'm asking you if you got the email about the league.
You're not going to talk to me about it at all, said. So.
Did you get the email
about
the league?
Yes, I got the email.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. I responded to the
email.
You
know what? Drive yourself out there then.
Drive yourself out there to Rancho Cucamonga. Because it's going to be a very quiet car ride
there
otherwise.
There you go.
With gas prices, don't you think we should at least carpool?
All right, maybe. You're okay. Driving then.
I won't talk. All right.
Championships.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. All right, folks. Welcome back to episode 2.07. We're going to get right to it today. We're not even going to waste your time with NFL news because there's no more NFL news now that Brett Favre is with the Jets. That's not true. But we're going to bring in Mike Nazarek immediately. We're going to ask him some questions about some NFL news notes that might be significant as far as fantasy football is concerned. So let's get to it.
The Mastermind Edge.
Hello, Michael Nazarek out of Henderson, Nevada. How's life out there?
Oh, everything's going great, guys. How's it going?
Is it hotter than a June bug butt naked on the 4th of July?
Yeah, if you're going to say
it. Oh, yes, it is. It was like 113 today.
Don't butcher it. Say it right or don't say it at all. That's all I'm asking.
I was very proud of myself.
Yeah,
did. Hotter than a June naked.
June butt? What's a June butt?
Hotter than a June bug, butt naked on the 4th of July.
Sitting on top of firecracker, exploding in the sky.
You added that.
Come on. You got.
You added
and
that.
And it's got to be fast. You just got to.
Hotter
hey.
Than a June bug, butt naked on the 4th of July,
never
sitting
mind.
On a firecracker, flying
yes.
into the sky.
How's it going, buddy? We've got sleepers today, and we're going to be talking about your offensive line list.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, we got Matt Rader is very much into the offensive line analysis, and he did a comprehensive rankings for all 32 teams, really in-depth, talks about all the guys on the offensive line on the trenches.
Well, I personally find that genius.
It finally gives a little bit of props to the men who open the holes and protect the quarterback.
That's right. You do not have skills players without skills people in front of them.
Okay. I agree with that.
And so, I mean, there's no way you're going to throw for a lot of yards. There's no way that you're going to open holes for lanes for big running backs and stuff unless you've got a good offensive line.
Yes, and it'll be important. We'll talk about why that's all important. But, Naz, I want to talk to you about some NFL news first.
NFL news?
NFL news. Can I ask you a question about a kicker?
Go ahead.
So, Jay Feely got cut by the Miami Dolphins, and he said he never really felt wanted there.
I read that. I just like, dude, you're a flipping kicker.
Oh, man. So, is that really going to help hurt the Miami Dolphins?
Well, welcome to the world of Bill Parcells, and I want to buy the groceries
exactly.
and more form the team myself because basically when Bill came on board, Jay was already there, and he's not obviously a Bill Parcells guy.
I understand, but the dude was 21 for 23 last year. What is Bill looking for?
Well, it was a 1-15 team. Maybe the problem was a kicker.
He's looking for perfection.
Okay.
on the cheap too. Remember,
yeah,
Jay Feely's been around quite a while, so his
To me, that's totally is. He's 32 years old, and he commands a million-plus hours.
So it was more about the bling-bling than the dude. I mean, he was 21 or 23, missed two field goals last year.
Now, they didn't get in the red zone very often.
That's true. So he made some pretty big ones.
Yeah.
And this week...
Well, I think also there was an injury involved there. I think he'd been nursing either a hamstring... Actually, I'm trying to go back in my...
Well, let me go in the Wayback Machine while you go look that up. To Cowboys camp 2 years ago, where the Cowboys had two kickers that were nursing little hamstrings.
Yes.
And Bill could not have been more displeased, shall we say, with them.
With his groin strains?
Yeah. I got the answer here. Jay Field was battling a groin strain. Forced him to sit out practice last week, and he missed the game last weekend.
Yes.
Dan Carpenter, converted a 41 and 49-yard field goal, and so all it took was two 40-yard field goals, and Jay Feely was out the door.
So, Bill, like, the dude made two 40-yarders.
And you didn't practice.
It was the only points, by the way, that we scored in the entire game, because Miami only scored six points.
Because Miami's Miami.
And he's like, all right, bye, Feely. Go see if someone else will be more touchy-feely with you.
I think that if he had practiced it, probably...
Touchy-feely with you?
Yeah, I got it. I know, it was a little pun there, a little wordplay. But I do think that if he had practiced, he probably would have hung on to his job.
Yeah,
but
probably. Well, also got to remember, guys, that they got that new limit. The rosters are 80-man limit now. They used to have the extended rosters to 90 because of NFL Europe, and they cut that back. And so now you got guys that are like on the bubble or, you know, borderline players, and then they get a groin strain or a hamstring and they sit out a week, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like a moving train. You know, you got to hop on board and learn the place and start practicing either that or you're going to be gone.
All right.
I love this quote. I've got to slide this in there. Carpenter converted 75 of 103 field goals and 182 of 188 extra points during his college career in Montana. He said he doesn't think he will have a problem adjusting to the warm weather in Miami.
Nice. Thanks, Carpenter.
Most people don't have a lot of trouble adjusting to warm weather.
I would think that the problem would be going the opposite.
Yeah, that's pretty
much what
I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're used to Florida weather and then going up in Montana and kicking up there.
Damn, it's cold.
All right, I want to toss this piece of news at you. Over in Baltimore, the Ravens signed free agent fullback Lorenzo Neal, who was released by the San Diego Chargers, and running back Willis McGahee underwent arthroscopic surgery. What's that all about?
Yeah, McGahee's been nursing that knee injury for most of the camp, and he's been unable to practice. And the team was worried enough that they said, let's go in there and do a little bit. They call it a cleanup. But this is also the same knee that he shredded there in college, you know, at the end. So, but they expected it shouldn't be anything that's going to keep him out of week one. But I have my doubts about that. So,
me too.
You know, we're sliding him down the rankings this week.
Yeah, good. I was like, the dude just had arthroscopic surgery. How do you expect him to play week one?
Dude, I put him on the fireman pole as far as your rankings go.
Well, the other big news is, of course, the rookie Ray Rice is really impressed in camp, and you know, he looked good in running last week, and he's, you know, they're probably going to fill in there. And if McGahee can't start the season, then you're probably looking at Ray Rice running behind Lorenzo Neal, which is certainly not going to hurt his situation there, opening the big holes, pancake blocks and such. And so obviously if you do draft McGahee in your draft, and I wouldn't take him before the third, maybe in fourth, heck, I mean, personally I'm kind of staying away from him, but if you do end up with him, you want to end up drafting Ray Rice later as a handcuff.
Okay. Now I want to talk about your favorite wide receiver of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Matt Jones, who pleaded not guilty to possession of cocaine. I just have a question. Jones, they caught you in the backseat of a car cutting it up with a credit card. How do you plead not guilty? And what is this going to do to him in the NFL?
First of all, he's not my favorite Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver. I'm not quite sure if I've got one. Actually, yeah. I've got one, but he's no longer playing anymore. Jimmy
I thought
Smith.
I was the Jacksonville fan.
When
did Naz become? He's a Giants fan.
I'm messing with Naz because last year, Matt Jones, I think, was one of his sleepers. Was he your sleeper,
Yes, yeah. He was on my sleeper list.
You don't forget anything.
You can't be 100% correct on all of them.
Man, you are merciless, Miranda.
I don't forget. You're right. I'm like an
He's
elephant.
He's getting me back because my Giants beat the Cowboys in the playoffs, so I got to take my lumps.
It's going to take us.
But I'm sitting here actually worrying about this as a Jaguars fan of the season.
Oh, yes.
This whole Matt Jones thing. And personally, you know what's going to happen. If he pleads not guilty to this, Goodell is going
and
to insert
guilty.
Himself. No, yeah, Goodell's going to insert himself in this process immediately.
Yeah.
He seems to be the trend right now is that first offense, I look the other way.
Yeah.
But if you plead not guilty and are found guilty, then I insert myself immediately, and you will see suspensions, period.
Well, yeah, the trial date's October 10th, so at least Matt's going to get, four or five paychecks there? He stays out of trouble between now and then, because he's probably going to end up making a team. He's actually having his best camp ever as a Jaguar, and Del Rio's actually been quite surprised about it. And the simple fact is that you got Reggie Williams is injured, had the surgery, and then Jerry Porter also, is injured. Actually, Porter had the surgery, and did they both have surgery? It's a big blur.
Yeah.
It's a big mess there, the injury.
No,
the
I know. Everyone's blaming me. Because
Jerry Porter had the torn hamstring and Reggie Williams' right knee was busted. So
that's right, and they both had surgery, didn't they? Yeah,
yes.
And Porter's actually walking around without off of crutches now, and he's showing off this big scar in the back of his hamstring, and saying, "Well, I think I'm going to be ready. I might even play in a preseason game. I don't think I don't think that's going to happen,
far.
But you know, there's a chance that he might be able to play in Week 1. I don't think that Reggie Williams is going to play Week 1.
All right. So there you go. But Matt Jones, is he in trouble here? Or is he going to miss games? Is he in danger of making the team?
Well, Jones is probably going to end up making the team if the injury situation stays as it is. Now, it depends on what happens. Trial then, because really I think this is the first time he's been arrested off the field, so I don't think Goodell's going to do anything until the results of the trial happen, unless of course he's cut coke, if he's caught cutting the white stuff again between now and then, which I can't imagine he would be caught doing.
Just officially for the record, his mom says that he didn't do it.
He didn't. His dad. It's his dad.
Oh, it's his dad.
I would hope so.
His dad acknowledges that there was coke in the vehicle.
But it wasn't his.
But it wasn't his. No.
Yeah, just like my favorite.
No, he was just cutting it.
My favorite urinalysis joke, of course, is that the urine wasn't mine. I was holding it for a friend.
All right. One final. What? That's funny. One final news note. Plaxico Burress put on some pads and actually practice. That's your guy right there, Naz.
Yep.
Giant.
He practiced. The bigger thing, of course, is the fact that he still haven't got his contract situation resolved, although they kind of say that, well, we think it's going to happen soon, but we're far enough away so that we're not going to end up doing a deal now. The Rosenhauses came in there, Drew and his brother, and they talked, and then they left. And, Plax is kind of frustrated about the whole situation. He's not quite sure. He thinks that I don't think it's anything he's going to get done. And then GM Jerry Reese comes out and says that we're optimistic that something's going to get done. But, you know, the days are dragging on here. And I have a feeling that if they're going to get this done, it's not going to be until right at the end of the preseason. And hopefully they will get something done, because I don't want to see Plax with this attitude going into the season.
Okay. Where would you put Plax right now? Is he top 10? Wide receiver?
No, he's not top 10.
15.
I think, right around 15. In a PPR league, he's kind of closer, maybe around 12 or 13. Basically, you put him right in there with Steve Smith and Brandon Marshall, who are not going to sit, are now going to sit the first two games. Marshall, of course, is out for three, and if he goes and attends the anger management, then he'll only be out for two. The thing with why is he not significantly ahead of those guys? Because he doesn't catch as many passes. He's not as dynamic and just a huge game breaker like Steve Smith and Brandon Marshall can be. And even if you draft those guys, Smith and Marshall, you might want to take them over Burress, because even though you're gonna eat the weeks, the first 2 weeks, you draft the rest of your wide out core deep enough so you can prepare and start other guys those first 2 weeks. Because when Smith and Marshall come back, they're going to be huge forces there. Burris, of course, always has seems to have the lingering ankle injury, the knee injury, and then, of course, his contract situation here. And, you know, I'm hoping that as a Giant fan that he plays all 16 games, but I don't know if I'd, you know, trust him to.
All right. He was pretty good for me last season. That's all I have to say about
it. Yes, he was. He had some very big games.
All right, Jeffrey, let's move on to, shall we say, the sleepers?
Okay, we can do the sleepers, or we can talk about...
We'll talk about what?
I was gonna... Maybe the silly news should wait till tomorrow.
Silly news should wait till tomorrow, yes.
Okay, so you go ahead and hit Bing. I was going to talk about Chad Johnson changing his name, but...
Okay.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
No comment.
No, that's right.
Not that it'll carry anyone over to the NFL show, but that's for tomorrow.
All right.
Ooh.
For tomorrow. All right, so what we're doing right
stupid
now,
stupid news,
folks,
tomorrow.
You'll be glad you listened. These are players' names who we might say them, and you might be like, who?
I never heard of that guy.
What? What position he play? Well, we'll tell you first
what team's
of all
he on?
What position he plays and, yeah, what team he plays. These are sleepers, and Naz, why don't you explain to all of our new folks what a sleeper is?
Well, a sleeper is a player in the NFL that has yet to reach his potential. He probably, if we've listed him as a sleeper, he's in a situation where he can either break out, have a big season, you know, bloom, mature as an NFL player, produce the big points that a lot of people, you know, especially fantasy footballers, are hoping that their players do when you take these guys later in your draft.
Okay, that's excellent.
A late bloomer.
Well, I am going to, because Jeffrey and I have like 5 skajillion drafts to do.
This weekend.
Over the next three
days. 3 days.
Yeah. No, over the next several weeks, I'm going to abstain from giving sleepers. I'll give you one. I'm going to let Naz do all the talking. I'll give you one of mine, and that's it. And I'm going to give you a running back.
Should I be taking notes since we're in 6 of the same leagues, 7 of the same leagues?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even get it. You will have to turn off your headset when I give my sleeper. And if you want to listen to what it is, you'll have to go listen to the show later on.
Why would I listen to this show? It sucks.
Okay.
All right.
On that note, we will move on to Naz and quarterbacks. Give us a sleeper or two that you see this year. And why?
Okay, in our preseason draft guide, we cover sleepers a little bit differently. We have categories. We have the obvious guys that most likely everyone knows about, but they maybe they're coming off of a poor year, an injury-riddled year. The situation, they're healthy now. Maybe they got a new coach or a new system behind them. You know, so there's good potential there. They're the dark horse. The guys that have kind of been around and flashed a little bit of talent, but maybe not quite gotten it all together. And then there's the long shots. These are the guys that really haven't shown much, but maybe a few brief moments of big-time plays here and there, but are in a good situation to be featured when they weren't featured in previous games or previous seasons. And then, of course, there's the deep sleeper. Those are the guys that have been deep on the rosters and that may end up grabbing maybe a number 3 wide receiver spot or maybe break in as the starting quarterback after the other guys either get injured or whatever and then have the big games. So I'll give you a couple sleepers as we talk through quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends into different categories. Just a couple at each position. Maybe a long shot or two and a dark horse here and there. But at the quarterback position, Jason Campbell's really having a good training camp and preseason. If you've seen him on the TV throwing touchdown passes to Randall L and making big plays there in Jim Zorn's Seattle Seahawks passing offense. That team has looked by far the best offensive passing game that just literally was almost dead in the water last year. So I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. And Jason Campbell, you know, Santana Moss, Randall L. stay healthy. They got veteran James Thrash, and then they got the rookies that are actually hurt right now, Demon Thomas and the other guy. And if this whole unit can stay together and work and mesh as well as they've looked so far in training camp and in preseason, then Jason Campbell might actually throw 20-plus touchdowns this year. He's a dark horse, in my opinion.
Okay.
I got David Garrard.
I think he's one of those obvious ones.
I know he's
the top of my list and obvious.
But
yes.
But again, is he somebody, though, that is a top 10, top 12 quarterback that is coming off the boards in the top 10, top 12 as far as average draft position? And I would say, he's not.
No, he's not. No.
So I think if you go and took him above that, you would then be taking a bit of a risk. But I think that it's a risk that won't come and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, with the sleepers, you almost want to wait to target these guys. That's why they're sleepers to begin with. You never want to overreach and grab a sleeper like in the sixth or seventh round. It's really kind of defeats the whole purpose.
The sleeper thing is 11, 12, 13?
Yeah, you're talking – well, yes. In obvious, maybe in the 9th, 10th round, somewhere around there, dark horse 11 through 13, long shot 14 through 16, 17, and a deep sleeper probably the last round 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
All right. I'm abstaining from the quarterback sleeper. I abstain. Next.
Well, then I will fill in another one for you, which is just San Francisco situation there. I think
do you know who's actually going to be the quarterback in San Francisco?
Oh, I think we do.
That's changing every day.
That's dangerous, dog, because based on this game I saw this weekend, I have no idea who the quarterback is in San Francisco.
Was that not one of the worst football games you ever saw in your life?
The Battle of the Bay was the Battle of...
It's like the Bay of...
Michael Bush looked pretty darn good in that game for the Raiders. That's about it.
I actually term that the Bay of Pigs.
Man, it wasn't even Bay of Pigs. It was like Bay of...
You remember that used to be Tampa Bay versus Green Bay when they both sucked a long time ago? Golly.
No, I didn't know that. I thought I had actually made that up, the Bay of Pigs.
It used to be the Bay of Pigs Bucks back in Packers. The 70s. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. You have a couple years on me, Michael.
all right, so let's move on to the running backs.
All right.
Running backs, Naz, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, I'll give you two running backs here. The first one's obvious, and I think that he really, really got a boost with the trade of, you know, who the person we don't like to talk about is New York Jets Thomas Jones, running back Thomas Jones. You know, just by having Favre on the team, they're going to have so many more scoring opportunities. The team's going to be in position for them to score. Everyone's going to think that Favre is going to be throwing all these scores, and Thomas Jones is going to, you know, get a lot of them. We had him last year only scored twice. We had him projected before the Favre trade about four scores, and now we've already bumped him up to seven or eight. You know, he could actually top 10. He's got the talent, the speed, the offensive line's improved with Alan Faneca, and you know, with just Favre leading the team there, I think they're not going to be able to stack the box with eight players, and because Favre will burn them, and so that's really going to play into Thomas Jones' hands. And you can get him now, obvious sleeper, fifth, sixth round running back, depending on the size of your league, maybe as a number two or number three running back. But, you know, as we get closer to season and the Jets may play more preseason games, I think Favre makes an impact. You're going to see how good Thomas Jones is going to be. He might end up being a third rounder, you know, by the end of August.
All right. Thomas Jones is a good one. Who's the next guy?
You talking about the Naz or you talking to me?
You want to go ahead and give one, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. Not that Steven gives a damn.
Go ahead.
But I like Kevin Smith in Detroit. I mean, he was awesome at University of Central Florida, and I believe that the Lions are really, with Mike Martz gone, they're going to turn more and more to the running game and to try and get a balanced attack and control the game. And I think if Tatum Bell stumbles even at all, well, they're already committed to the dual back system. And he could have, on his own, I think could have a 1,000-yard season.
One small problem. He plays for the Detroit Lions.
What did I say that he played for?
The Detroit Lions. No, I know. Oh, you know who they play.
I made a mistake.
It's the Detroit Lions.
Dude. Yeah, no, the at Lions
least,
are not.
At least Mike Martz is no longer there. So, yeah. You know, they're not going to be throwing every day.
I understand what he's saying, but still, it's the Detroit Lions. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I can't.
And they're going to be losing too often to run the ball?
To run the ball. They're going to be passing because they're going to be down 30-5.
Well, I haven't heard.
That's all they're going to get, a safety and a field goal.
I haven't heard John Kitna has not come out and told us.
Already.
He told us how many games they're going to win.
Before training camps even started.
How many games are they going to win? Well,
he
there you go.
He forecasted a 10-win season again.
There
but
you go.
I tell you, they got the wide receivers in Calvin Johnson and Roy Williams, so they're going to put up some points. I think you'll be surprised, Steven.
Yeah, they're going to put up some points throwing the ball
air.
When they're chasing 30
they have
points.
To.
Exactly. All right.
But 10 wins means you got a good team. So if he says 10 wins, then.
And that's what he said last year.
Then Kevin Smith is going to be awesome.
Now, you had a sleeper, Steven, didn't you, here? For
yeah, I do. I will give
he
you
doesn't
my
want to talk about
one sleeper. And that is running back from the Tennessee Titans rookie, Chris Johnson.
Chris
this
Johnson.
Guy has excellent hands. He runs great routes. So if it's a PPR league you're playing in, you definitely want to look at him because the Tennessee Titans are going to move him around, play him in the slot, motion this guy, and get him involved in the passing game. But he's fast, he's speedy, he's elusive, can run the ball. And in this past preseason game against the St. Louis Rams, just ran a 66-yard touchdown. So this is a guy that late – you want a rookie, you want a sleeper, this is one guy that I think will pay dividends immediately.
He starts, rips off more touchdown runs in the preseason, then his stock's going to climb. He won't be able to wait until 11, 12, 13 to get him. He's going to be a top 10 round pick.
Yes.
Might even push Lendale White right out of the starting job there. Mr. Lendale White, you know, as we like to call him.
Exactly.
Here. But I've got one here, one of my long shots, Chris Perry in Cincinnati. He hasn't played a game in the NFL since 2006, but against the Packers on Monday night, ran out the gut and bowled his way in the end zone for a score. And you can tell he's really like a chip on his shoulder, really excited to score. The coaches are really excited about him. He's finally healthy. I think there's a very good chance that he pushes Kenny Watson right off the field. Kenny Watson might just become an expensive backup for Rudy Johnson. Rudy Johnson's still got the hamstring issues now cropping up again, and they're actually talking using Chris Perry like Marshall Faulk in Cincinnati if they actually can be used in that way. So all I'm saying is that if you get in the 15th, 16th, 17th round of your draft, Chris Perry's probably going to be on the board, and you might want to consider him.
Okay, Naz, I had to laugh when you said Kenny Watson because I just read Eddie Rex's article on your fantasy guide.
Mm-hmm.
The Think Gamble Win article that he wrote, which is hysterical.
Yep.
He's a very witty writer, very engaging writer, and he takes a very unusual approach. And he basically was saying, would you rather be the guy who says with Kenny Watson, I told you so, or would you rather be the guy with LT who has the bad year and says, what are you going to do? You know, it was LT, he got injured. And that Kenny Watson reference was just so random. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And so there you go. Had to throw that out there. Just give
well,
him more props.
Has been
to
writing
guide.
For our guy for a couple years now, and he writes conversationally, and so
he does.
Very different, unique,
entertaining.
And he's got a lot of experience, and like you say, entertaining. And I just love it. I mean, and it's always a surprise. I said just write whatever you want for the guy, and he just throws me pieces, and I'm amazed at some of the stuff. And you know, sometimes we have to put little disclaimers at the start saying
you did on his
in what you're reading.
You did, because he basically goes off the board and he says, go counterculture. You know, don't do what everybody does. What's more fun, to rub someone's nose in something that no one saw coming or to be on the bandwagon with everybody else? And that's kind of his philosophy, is to really look for the sleepers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that was a fun, very fun read. So, thanks.
Okay. Well, you know, Eddie, like I said, Eddie he's written for the guide the last couple of years. We've got more articles that we just released. Dr. Gilbert Varsh has written a nice article on the two quarterback starter league.
I saw that. The two quarterback starter.
Yep.
Hey, hang on. This is becoming a phenomenon.
Okay.
I know several people playing in two quarterback leagues. I don't get it. Why?
Because
one's
weird.
Not enough?
Yeah.
I mean, how many mutations of fantasy football are we going to have?
Thousands.
Here's the 99 running back league I'm in.
Well, there's the all kicker league. There's 10 teams in the league. Everybody takes 3 kickers. That's it.
You know who started it?
Kickers.
AJ Feely.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was the weirdest variation.
That's stupid.
Is the all-kicker league. You take 3 kickers. I think it was a soccer fan.
He knows a soccer guy.
It was
guy.
A soccer fan who was like, well, you know, the only position to actually use the foot
is the kicker. And from what I have learned, they're the most disrespected people on the football team.
I want to play fantasy football with nothing but kickers.
Because they use their feet.
All right, let's change focus over to the wide receivers, where Nez has another sleeper there.
Yes, in the dark horse category, let's see, we just added Mr. Ronald Curry in Oakland. Javon Walker was the big free agent signee there, and then he told Al Davis a week or two ago, I'm not quite sure if I want to play, I want to retire, and Al talked him back into it. And then a couple of days later, Javon Walker's out there on the practice field running with the second unit. Things are not looking good there. Ronald Curry's been really the stabilizing force for that, if you can call it a wideout core the last couple of years, Randy Moss coming and going. But he's got chemistry, he's developed chemistry with Jamarcus Russell. He's slated as the number one wide receiver right now, despite the presence of Javon Walker. And he's not going to set the world on fire, so don't expect, 1,300 yards and 10 scores out of him. But if he can stay healthy, and that's been his bugaboo, that if he can, then I think he could approach 1,000 yards and 6 or 7 scores, maybe even a little bit more. It really depends on how quickly the passing game in Oakland gels there. But I think Ronald Curry, and he'll be around in your draft probably around 12, 13, 14 rounds.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you want to target him.
Yeah, I just – every single wide receiver on that
in
team,
Oakland?
I just like
– Well, my question to you, Michael, is the number one receiver in the Bay of Pigs – We'll just include both teams.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs>
Now, would they be any better than a number three wideout in New England?
I don't know. Very close.
That's my. Isn't that an interesting question?
Yeah.
Something to ponder.
Jabbar Gaffney's probably, if he sticks at number three for the entire year like we think, he's probably talking about 800-900 yards.
Yeah.
And five or six scores
touchdowns.
Because Tom Brady throws so much.
That's right. And I would go so far as to add, even down in Houston, where I've been shocked at the plethora of targets that they seem to find, the fullback, the tight end, the three wide receivers, the running back, everybody catches the ball down there. And I bet you one of those guys is going to get in the 800-900 yard range, with 5 or 6 scores. And I don't know that the number one receiver in Bay of Pigs is going to do that.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Ronald Curry in Oakland. Jeffrey, you got a wide receiver to throw out there?
Well, I could take you to Steve Breston. Speaking of number three guys, they're going to be throwing a lot in Arizona because they're going to be trailing a lot. And he's somebody that you might want to keep an eye on.
Steven Breston.
That's all I got. What do you think, Naz?
All right, Naz, you want to throw another wide receiver out there?
Yeah, I've got one more in the long shot category here, and actually this guy's risen to become the number one receiver. I don't know, the team, of course, is questionable, but anytime you're looking at a number one down here and it's late in your draft and you want a guy that got potential, it's second year Ted Ginn in Miami. You get Chad Pennington there. I know Chad Pennington didn't have the strongest arm. Him and all these Favre jokes, and he can't throw as far.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are we talking Favre about
overthrew poles in practice? Remember that? And then somebody yelled at him and said, "Hey, Chad Pennington can't throw it that far, so get used to it, Lavernus." He didn't take kindly to that. But right now in camp, Ted has become the number one receiver in Miami. It used to be Ernest Wilford, who now is almost like practicing his way right off the team. He's not only been passed by Jim for the number one spot there on the team, but also Derek Hagan, who was the number three or four last year, now is the number two. And he's about to be passed by a rookie for the number three position there. But Ted can return punts. He's a dynamic player. He just needs to work more on his route running, precision, his hands. But, if they do get some better quarterback play out of, Chad Pennington there, then it could be a very good steal in the final rounds of your draft.
Teddy Ginn Jr. All right.
Yeah, I think Wilford Brimley has a better chance.
I will let you guys deal with the Teddy Ginn Juniors of the world. I will not be
avoiding all Miami receivers.
I'll be avoiding all Miami players.
No,
you know, that's why it's a long
Ricky
shot.
Williams,
you know what I mean?
Ricky Williams.
When you get down in the 16-17 range, you got guys that get opportunity.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
No matter whether on Oakland or Miami, you know, you got to look at guys like that. Either you are talking about then guys like Jabbar Gaffney, the number three on New England. You know, a lot of people are going to take that guy ahead of these other guys.
Yeah, and that was the place of a Matt Jones, frankly.
Yeah.
Is that he's somebody that could have been, you know, that number three, number four wide receiver in a potent offense.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out right now. Last year, I gave you this very, very important tip. Stay away from all Atlanta Falcon running backs. Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. That probably played out well. Do you agree?
And you stand by that?
This year, it's going to be avoid all Miami Dolphin wide receivers.
There you go.
There you go. Last year it was Atlanta Falcon running backs. This year it's Miami Dolphin wide receivers. Because it doesn't matter who's going to throw them the ball, they ain't going to get it there.
Unless they're thrown to your daughter out in the front lawn. That ball ain't getting there.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm picking on Miami, but it's true.
Because anyway, they looked horrible. I mean,
yeah, they did.
You'd have to put them in the Bay of Pigs game. Having seen every single preseason game this weekend, there are some that just stood out as stinkers.
They were probably below. It was probably Miami 32.
Yeah.
San Francisco 31. Oakland 30.
30. Yeah. It was just. It's something that was so bad. It's like a bad movie that you need to see it truly believe how bad it was.
Appreciate
how frequently can you go three and out, and then you don't even go three and out. You go one and turnover. I mean, it's like three and out is a good thing. That was a good drive because we put three consecutive plays together without turning over the ball. They suck. God.
There you go. So. My piece of tip here, it wasn't a sleeper wide receiver. It was
avoid
all wide receivers.
Danger.
For the Miami Dolphins. Okay, that leaves the tight ends.
Yeah.
And no, we're not talking about the Dallas Cowboy
giggly.
Cheerleaders. We're talking about the...
Someone had hotter outfits than the Cowboy cheerleaders.
Really?
I don't know. Again, I saw too many football games
this
weekend.
They're all melding together.
But there was some basic cheerleading outfit that was so ridiculously small. It was microscopically small. I thought I was looking at a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Absolutely no problems with microscopic cheerleading outfits. All right.
I'm going to get the ball started with Steve Heiden there in Cleveland.
Ooh.
Where I think that the man out of South Dakota State's going to he's just such a great big physical presence, and he's fast.
Okay.
He's 6'5", 270, and the guy flies.
So you think Winslow's going to get injured there?
Always. I mean, yes. Well, and they run a lot of two tight backs.
Actually, they're talking about using Winslow as a number two wide receiver, so I guess that would be Heine as one tight end, right?
That assumes that Winslow's healthy enough, yeah. I mean, with Braylon Edwards going down and stuff, they really are going to be desperate. And I'm high on Heiden.
All right, Naz, throw us your sleeper tight end.
Okay, mine's going to be a little bit more conventional. L.J. Smith had a horrendous year last year. He's on and off the field. Hernia, sports hernia, groin injury. And he's basically having a very, very good camp. He had a little bit, I think, of a little bit of calf there, but he's been practicing all this week and making great plays. The team's very excited about him rebounding this year. Of course, he's always been one of Diamond Manette's favorite receivers. I think he hit around the red zone. LJ's going to get the ball. He's going to score. And best of all, you can grab him as your fantasy backup tight end, probably in round 15, 16, 17, because a lot of people out there don't seem to think that he's going to rebound, but I'm not one of those people.
236 yards and one touchdown. I know you're one of the smart people, but that's some horrible numbers from last year.
Well, that was because he didn't play most of the season.
He played 10 games.
Yeah, a lot of those games he played on like one
very
leg.
Very limited, I agree.
And they run him out there, and they just use him as a decoy. They don't even throw to him just so he can, basically try to halfway block for the running game. So he's going to be more, it's just kind of like Todd Heap. I mean, there's so much talent there, but yeah, I mean, the guy can't stay on the field. And when he does, and he's healthy, and he gets the ball to him, he catches it and he scores.
All right, I'm going to throw you a tight end. I'm going to throw you a bone here at the tight end position. This guy, after getting all of his tutelage and his knowledge from the Indianapolis Colts, and did I say Colts?
You said Coach, but I totally agree with you.
Indianapolis Colts. He has now moved over to Cincinnati, and Ben Utek is going to be the starting tight end there.
Carson, and he just scored Monday.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, he didn't just score. He had four catches for 34 yards and that 14-yard touchdown pass. Carson Palmer.
And he was on my list, even, and actually you kind of took him out of my mouth. That's a very good choice.
Carson Palmer starting to look at this guy, and he was good with Indianapolis.
That's
except
right.
Nobody knew of him because there's so much talent in Indianapolis. He hardly
lost.
Got on the field, and he did. When he did play and he made some great catches for them, he got lost. Everybody was like, who's that? Who's the U guy? Now he's in Cincinnati. You're going to hear this name often. I think he is going to be available as the, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th tight end. And if you've already got one of those top five guys, you can definitely get it, Ben Utek, and he will he'll definitely perform for you, and as I think maybe even as a starter. But if you're just going to use him as a backup, I don't think there's going to be anyone better than him.
He's lasting to the 18th, 19th, 20th round in drafts.
See,
can tell
there
you go,
now. Right
so
there.
You can wait to the very end and grab him.
No, he deserves to go way higher than that.
And
however,
however.
Cincinnati scares me to death.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Nothing.
No, it's the defense that should scare you, Jeff.
The offense and the defense scares me. This is a team that is, I am looking for significant improvement this week in week two of the preseason because they don't look like they have a clue.
That's why they play the preseason, my friend.
No,
that's right. You remember Houshmandzadeh also did not play in that game on Monday night.
No,
yeah, and that would have made all the difference in the world with Carson Palmer looking like he was lost.
But what I thought was amazing about that Cincinnati Bengal game, Ocho Cinco had one catch.
Yeah, so one catch.
And he was only looked at a couple other times.
He's going to be on fire. He's going to set new records. And he's going to change his last name.
Oh, all right, now, guys, you just got to be careful here. Don't put too much stock in the preseason.
No.
We all know the Raiders went 5-0 a couple of years ago. But you know what? I put a ton of stock in the preseason when it matters. And for this week one, it's the first series or two. For week two, it's going to be the first quarter. And week three, it's the first couple quarters and maybe into the third quarter and fourth. And then week four, it's meaningless.
I think the first quarter or first half of the third game is very important.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't put really any stock in the first series or first quarter of the very first preseason game because anyone can have a bad start to this preseason. So I'm just saying it's kind of scary if you put that much stock into it.
I don't put that much stock. I just take notes and observe.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you have to watch. The Cincinnati Bengals did in the beginning of that game.
They were horrible.
I know they wound up winning the game 20-17, but
they were horrible.
Awful. They looked. Their starting offense was out there for quite. As a matter of fact, a lot longer than you would expect the starting offense to be out in the first preseason game.
Yeah.
There should be improvement. That's what we're looking for here in week two and when in week three, obviously. If they're looking like that in week three in the first half with Houshmandzadeh and Chad Ocho Cinco out there, then, yeah, I'd be starting to get worried a little bit. Remember Bubby Brister for Denver? He had a couple of bad preseason games. He was supposed to replace John Elway, right? Bip, gone.
But Steven's point is well worth heeding. If the starting offense is on the field longer than the first couple of series, that means things are going dramatically wrong.
Yeah, you're not, because the coach wants to see them accomplish something, and they obviously aurn't getting it done.
Right.
I mean,
he wants to see something go right.
Until they get it done.
and this took them into the second quarter.
Yeah, it did. It did.
And
frankly,
that's just ridiculous for what is supposed to be an elite offense.
Yeah, I was very shocked to see Carson Palmer in there till the almost middle of the second quarter. That's when they scored their touchdown with Ben Utek, and then that's when he came out of the game. But he had like three series in the first quarter.
It's disgusting.
And a couple and then that one series in the second quarter, and I was like, man, Palmer's out there an awfully long time. But there you go. I don't know. All this to say, I like Ben Utek.
Use him. Look
I
for
love
him.
Ben Utech.
He's going to be there late. There you go.
I got one more sleeper here at tight end. A long shot. Actually, I don't think he's a long shot coming into this year. He's certainly got the talent to produce. Hopefully, they have adjusted the system like they say they have, and he's really excited about it. It's Randy McMichael in St. Louis. Without Isaac Bruce down there, they got Drew Bennett, who's injury-prone, going to be the number two wide receiver. They got Donnie Avery, the rookie. They need someone to step up and fill a little bit of a void, the veteran presence. And the coaches have adjusted the offensive scheme, and they're going to be throwing more to Randy McMichael. He's really excited about it. He's not going to be just used as a blocker. And best of all, you can wait until the 14th, 15th, 16th round and grab him as a backup on your team.
All right.
Now we are going to segue into your little list of the top five offensive lines in the game.
Real quickly, yes. And basically, what you're looking here is you're looking for the line that's going to provide stability for your quarterback and protect him. So obviously these offensive lines are important because if it's an offensive line for a quarterback that you're targeting, well, that's good news. Also, running backs who run behind them, these guys block for them, open up the holes. So let's see who's got great offensive lines.
Well, Matt Rader is our offensive line specialist and our draft guy. He's been writing on offensive lines and taking notes on all these units for years now. And so we just let him do his thing. He's he's kind of like the John Madden of the site in terms of he likes to use the terms like you know, down in the trenches, and he's a pancake blocker, and you know, so he really likes the Minnesota Vikings. I tend to agree with him there, not only because they have a really dynamic running back, but obviously because they've got Brian McKinney and Steve Hutchinson on the left hand side with Matt Burks, been the All Pro center up front, and then on the right side they got Anthony Herrera and Ryan Cook. So you know, there's the number one offensive line, according to Matt and according to us. You know, so I guess if you draft Adrian Peterson, you should be smiling as long as Adrian stays healthy.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. I think they have so much. And remember, this all began this little era with Steve Hutchinson coming over from the Seattle Seahawks. And their running game has never been the same since.
Oh, yeah. Where's that's Sean right. Alexander
what
playing?
Happened to Sean Alexander?
Oh, he's not.
You're exactly
oh, that's right.
Right.
He's a free agent. By
he,
the way.
Yeah, you could pick him up for a bag of balls and a rosin bag, I think.
Can you just real quickly? I know we're on offensive line. Naz, any idea why are people avoiding him like the plague?
Injuries.
You talking about Sean Alexander?
Yeah.
I think here because. Well, I tell you, you know, he just didn't appear to be running too hard last year, actually the last 2 years. I know he was kind of injured and he had the wrist and all, but he kind of like when, even in his prime, he was always kind of a glider. And you open up big holes and you shoot right through them and all. But when the holes weren't coming, he kind of like glide down, you know, and go more east to west. That's where guys started getting in trouble. He'd get stuff a lot of times and get, you know, lose a lot of yardage. I think a lot of people think that, you know, they, once he got the big money contract, he kind of put football on the back burner and wasn't ready to really go out and give it his all. And,
it's
you
hard
know,
to
it's
spend all that money.
This is Alabama kid, too. You know, I lived in Alabama for 30 years, and I know that he's a religious guy. And, you know, a lot of people question his commitment to football. So, you know, maybe simple fact is that once he hit the 30, you know, he looks appears done. You know, I think that the other thing is that he's got so much money, he probably doesn't want to take a minimum contract deal, and I really can't blame him if I was in that situation, too. You know, maybe he's just waiting for more injuries to hit, and if somebody goes down, Adrian Peterson, somebody like that, I don't know, maybe maybe they might end up signing him. And, you know, but the fact is also is that he's kind of limited. He doesn't do any work on special teams, and also he's not a third-down type back. He doesn't catch passes very well.
He doesn't block
and so,
well.
You know, it's not somebody that you can pick up and for depth here. He's almost like a Tatum Bell in terms, you know, in Detroit is that, you know, he's either going to come in and possibly be the starter or, you know, he might be inactive, and who's going to want to pay Sean Alexander a million and a half or whatever just to be on the inactive roster the entire season.
Good point. Yeah, but I just like to point out, I mean, that is one heck of an offensive line that they've got there in Minnesota. Let's go on to your number two team.
Well, number two, San Diego. Nobody's surprised you got LT there. It's really good nucleus with center Nick Hardwick and Chris Dielman and Mike Goff, and they make up one of the best middle batteries in the NFL. And they've also got Shane Olivia. Well, actually, he's gone, and that actually opened up the door for Jeremy Clary and LJ Shelton to step up. So this is all according to, of course, Matt Rader's written a whole bunch of gobs of information about the line. But I mean, with LT success, you really can't go wrong there with that line.
Jeremy Clary is a beast, and he's just coming into his own in the league, having only been in the league this is his second season out of Kansas State. But he is 6'3", 306 pounds. That is a beast. Yeah, and he's lined up on the right side, and nobody wants to go over there.
Big guys. Those are big, big guys.
And then next to him, you know, Mike Goff at 6'5", 311. It's like, holy crap. No wonder LT has these prodigious seasons that he has, because
guys got to do is, like, stand up and lean over.
Pretty
and they
much.
The hole.
And, oh, look at that hole the size of the 405 freeway. So there you go. That's all San right. Diego, and now what do you got?
Well, Jacksonville. They're, of course, going to be running even more this year, especially on all the injuries they've got at wideout for both Fred Taylor and Maurice Drew. I think this is one of the reasons why Fred Taylor, now is in his 30s, has still been a successful back in the NFL, because they've just blown holes left and right. You got Brad Meester there and Vince Menawai. And of course then
Khalif Barnes.
Yeah, that's right. So they've got a lot of guys there. Tony Pachos is entering his second year as rugged run blocker, and he's gonna add punch to the right side of their offensive line, and so you're gonna have a lot of holes there for both Taylor and Drew to run through.
All right. Yeah. They've produced some really, really big numbers. That last year they had a couple games where they ran for close to 300 yards. On several occasions. That's pretty impressive.
I love the headshot they have of Dennis Norman on CBS Sportsline. He looks like somebody, if you saw in an alley, he's 6'5", 322. You would just wet yourself, turn, and run. And he's the center that David Garrard gets to stand behind. And boy, would I feel safe. He's a monster. He looks like he belongs in action movies as the villain or something like that, because he is a beast. My gosh. Right. They are something else. And then on the number four spot, you got what?
Well, we got the Philadelphia Eagles here. The only one concerned there is, of course, right guard Sean Anders is going. He's been out of camp undergoing treatment for depression. Donovan McNabb thinks that, you know, when the season comes calling that, you know, he's going to be fine. Kind of remains to be seen, but I mean, obviously, if he can, you know, get back with the team and rejoin them in time for the season, then him and Todd Herman's make one of the best guard tandems in the league, and of course they got William Thomas and John Running at tackles, and so Brian Westbrook, you know, if the knee holds up, he's gonna have a lot of holes run through. Hopefully, maybe this year he won't take a dive on the 1 yard line, right, like he did at the end of last year. But anyway, they want to win games, and if he has to do that to win a game, they'll do it again. I'm sure of it.
My understanding is that Sean reported to camp already.
That's right. He's reported, but I'm not sure whether he actually joined his teammates today in camp or not. But
I know
he's still there's still concern there about his mental health.
I don't know the young man, but I do know mental health and depression. One of the good things to get over depression, hitting people. And I don't mean like physical assault as in domestic violence.
Right.
But getting those endorphins released through the kind of hitting that you would do on an NFL field does wonders for depression.
Well, there you go.
And he needs to get on a football field.
I think he's gone on the football field. Let's see how he does, though. I'm not too sold on the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. I think they're a little high there. But go ahead. Who you got next?
Well, rounding out the top five is Cleveland Browns. You've got the two big additions on the left-hand side were Joe Thomas,
Joe
tackle,
Thomas.
Eric Steinbach. And those guys have been around quite a while, and they're big, and their power and speed, and they're very agile, and they work well together. Hank Fraley's a very solid pivot player at center, and he's got a blue-collar mentality. It fits well with the offense. And right guard Ryan Tucker is healthy again and took well to the inside position, his big physical play. And the tackle's Kevin Schaefer. He works well in space and is a nice hybrid talent. It's very good balanced line. Jamal Lewis couldn't ask for one. He's got one of the better offensive lines there. You know, he had the renaissance year last year. Even the bad games where he didn't have very much production yardage-wise, when they get inside the five-yard line, Jamal knows how to make a beeline for the little tiny holes that these guys can create. And how many times did he have a 1 or 2 yard touchdown run, you know, last year? It made a lot of fantasy football fans happy.
Yeah, I think the drafting of Joe Thomas last year by Cleveland was one of the better moves that they made a long time. 6'6", 305.
And he's also a fighter. Did you know he got into a fight in a
minicamp?
He's
not just a lover. He's a fighter.
That's right.
Or is that Ultimate Fighter? Is that what you're talking about?
No, Joe Thomas, he got into a fight in minicamp with a couple of
I thought you were talking about his off season.
It was the off season. It was during a minicamp, and he got down and started whooping up on somebody. But
There you go. I think when you're a blocker and lineman like that, you got to have that type of mentality to be successful in the league. And every once in a while, doing something like that I'm not advocating slugging your teammate like Steve Smith did.
But it's not out of character.
Yes.
Now, Steven, you pimped my joke. I was going after the world's most interesting man, which I just think those Dos Equis commercials are hysterical.
Yes.
And the guy whose beard is also on his organ donor card. And
yes.
He's a lover, not a fighter. But
And I believe
but
his
he's also
name
a
is
fighter.
Joe Tomas.
But he's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas.
Yes. That is a great commercial. I love that dude, too.
All right. The world's most interesting man.
All right.
Your dad.
There you go.
Thanks,
Naz.
Mike.
Another great show. Lots of it. Look, I tell you what. I'm going to listen to the show. I'm going to write down all the names you gave. And I'm going to go out. I'm going to take them all. And then when my team doesn't win, I'm going to blame you.
Naz's life,
is that
by
what
the way.
Hey, Naz, is that what people do?
That
though?
Is his life.
You get the email from like, you told me.
There are some people. I mean, we have thousands of subscribers, so there every once in a while you'll get people like that. They're like, hey, I was 15-1, and then you said to bench this kicker for that other kicker, and he missed the extra point, and I lost by 1 point, and I'm blaming you for everything.
We need to send you the Nelson laugh, and you could just play that.
Yeah, you could just play that clip.
There you go.
All right. It's been Michael Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check him out at www.ffmastermind.com. Lots of great information. More of his sleepers. You can take a look at all of his dark horses and his deep, deep sleepers.
Which
yeah, we just
like
updated the category. I actually made comments on all 51. We have 51 sleepers on all for all these categories, and added 6 new ones to the list. The guide now is 477 pages. It's going to grow. It's going to top over 500 because we're adding the AFC training camp capsules with tidbits from the training camps all across the league this week in the guide. So a lot of good stuff to come. We're still So this is just the second week of the preseason, guys. You know, I'm ready for the real games.
So am I.
And
let's
for
get
all the
going.
Show donors, I'll be sending out, I just did send out the week 2 schedule, so you know where to find the replays of the games that aren't in your area on NFL Network, because they'll be showing at 2 in the morning wherever you are, and you can record them on your TiVo we do. And watch them all!
We're watching a lot of football.
I love it.
I don't know how we do it.
I love it.
But we do. All right.
We do it for you guys. We don't watch football for any other reason but for you guys, because we love you guys.
And this has been
The Mastermind Edge.
Yep, another good stuff. And this time we're signing out with Big Old Mike with us. This has been Steven Miranda,
Jeff Ellis,
and Mike Nazarek
from Henderson, Nevada, for Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Good night.
Get those drafts going, people.